Ricardo Bernalis versus Cook County.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. This involves a case of summary judgment being permitted where evidence had to be weighed in order for that determination to be made and where credibility was at issue. Summary judgment, therefore, was improper. My client was a Peruvian national origin. He was a physician in the pediatrics department at Cook County since August of 1978. In 1993, he expressed an interest in the chair of the pediatrics department, immunology section, a position that he had held as an acting chief in the past. Nonetheless, he was turned down by a new hire for the department chair, Dr. Ziering, and no reason was given concerning the qualifications other than a belatedly developed set of criteria that was supposedly used when Dr. Ziering's deposition was taken. No indication was given to my client that these criteria were being used. In fact, my client was never interviewed for the position, despite the fact that he had been in the acting position. The defendant tries to say he was interviewed for the position because in a conversation with Dr. Ziering, my client talked about the position, but that was not a formal interview, and that's admitted, whereas the person selected did get that position. As a result of that, my client then filed, after that, my client was given a promotion to a higher position by Dr. Ziering, told that he was a wonderful person and a great performing doctor. But then my client went to the EEOC and filed a complaint of discrimination based on his failure to receive a promotion. From that point on, my client then began to be treated like a pariah. He was harassed constantly by Dr. Ziering, his evaluations, and his diagnoses were questioned. Dr. Ziering made comments to him, for example, like, did you get your taco today? There was also an incident where there were applicants for a position, and Dr. Ziering expressed himself by saying something to the effect of, thank God there's an American who's applying for this position. Very clearly then, there were some issues as to whether or not Dr. Ziering and his decisions was being motivated by my client's Hispanic heritage or by other business-related decisions. For that reason, again, summary judgment was not appropriate. In the summer of 1995,
isn't it true, counsel, that Dr. Moy's qualifications were far superior?
Incorrect. My client...
Let's just go down the line. Wasn't he certified by the American Board of Pediatrics?
So was my client. He was born.
I'll finish and then you finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then also, wasn't he certified by the American Board of Allergy and Immunology? Didn't he do a lot of writing, teaching, and do a lot of research at Rush?
He did those things. My client was board certified in pediatrics. My client was board certified in allergy and immunology. My client had actually been acting in that position. The position never called for teaching as a DA.
I mean, doesn't that add to your accomplishments, teaching and writing?
Sure does. But, if those are the criteria they were looking for and they were fairly assessing my client's qualifications, they could easily have asked him, what experience do you have? My client did teach at Georgetown University when he actually worked there. He also taught at Detroit when he was working there. So if someone wanted to know about his background in teaching so that they could determine fairly what his qualifications were, all he had to do was ask.
He had to file that, didn't he, then?
I'm sorry?
It was incumbent upon him to bring it to their attention.
If the idea had already been expressed that the department chair was supposed to have some teaching functions, he had been in the acting position before. No one in the past had indicated that there were any teaching requirements that were required.
So you're saying your client never found out in advance of the hiring what the requirements or qualifications were for the position?
That's correct. And in fact,
did he ever go in to ask?
He never was called in for an interview. The decision was made.
I said, did he ever go in to ask what the qualifications?
He asked the prior persons who were in charge. Dr. Pildes was in charge prior to Dr. Ziering's hire. And he submitted his applications to Dr. Tildes, and so they had sat there. And then Dr. Ziering, when he was hired, came in and said that he didn't want anyone hired by Dr. Tildes till he got on board. So that's how the transition was made. And then Dr. Ziering came on board and then made the hiring decision.
I ask you again, did he ever go in to ask what they were looking for, what the qualifications were for the position?
He asked Dr. Tildes, that's my point. He did not ask Dr. Ziering because Dr. Ziering didn't come on board until later on.
Okay.
Now, after my client filed the EEO complaint, suddenly his work was looked askance by Dr. Ziering and the superiors, and he was hounded concerning scientifically proven facts. For example, they said he was too anecdotal in his diagnoses, but my client had 20-some years of experience in pediatric allergy and immunology. His anecdotal experience would be essentially equivalent to someone else's writing books.
And Did he ever receive any research grants?
He did not receive any research grants at that point. He has since, but no one again asked him.
Did he ever participate in any research projects while at the hospital?
I believe that he did, but that wasn't asked of him whether he did or didn't do that.
Did he develop or did he administer any new teaching programs?
No, he did not, because he was never asked to. So, in any event, in 1995, a determination was made by the hospital board that there had to be some adjustments in the budget to be made. My client was in a position where he was paid the same amount as another younger, less experienced doctor. Although that less experienced doctor was kept on board, my client was terminated from his position. Again, that makes no sense. The person who was kept on board in the Department of Pediatrics wasn't even a pediatrician. My client was board certified as a pediatrician. So the qualifications of my client compared to Dr. Yu, who was the person who was kept on board, are highly above his. In addition, if they were cutting the budget, the salaries of both of them were essentially the same. So you didn't save any money by firing my client as opposed to the doctor that they kept, who was less experienced.
Is your man doing anything right now, your client?
Yes, he is. He's
administering. Where is he?
He's administering to a $350,000 grant that he applied for.
Where?
I believe it's at Norwegian American Hospital. I'm not sure exactly whether that's the hospital, but I know he's administering a grant.
In other words, he's not having any financial problems right now.
Well, sure, he's having financial problems because he's not making as much on the grant as he would have had he still been employed by Cook County Hospital.
Had the government given him that grant?
I'm sorry?
Had the government approved him for the grant?
Well, I don't know if the government did or if it was a private grant. That part I don't know. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time for a rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Maureen Farrick. I'm Assistant State's Attorney, and I represent the County of Cook. In response to a few of the remarks made by Mr. Andre, I point out a few things. In this case, it was very clear that they were seeking certain things from the applicant for chairman of the division.
And how is that was clear? Was there anything in writing or was that articulated to anyone? You heard counsel say that the prior head of the department had accepted resumes and nothing was articulated in terms of qualifications.
There was a letter prepared. When an individual is recommended by the department chair for the position of divisional chair, that is simply a recommendation. It has to be approved. Thus, the individual making the recommendation, in this case Dr. Ziering, has to put in writing the reasons that support his appointment of someone for that post. So there is a writing by Dr. Ziering, I think we cite it in our brief, wherein he sets forth four missions. In terms of your question relating to did Dr. Bernales know that? Well, if you examine Dr. Bernales' resume, which is also attached to the brief, he puts forth various areas of experience. He includes the fact that he has done rounds with residents. He includes the fact that he did research back in 1978 when he was a resident. He includes the fact that he did some publications. Now, not only does he put those things forth to the extent that they exist in the resume he actually submits, but I think that this court can take judicial notice of the fact that those are common areas that professionals include in their resume. People in professions generally don't need to be told that you need to put forth anything that you've published or any special research that you've done. It's standard practice in a profession.
So the bottom line is there was no piece of paper or no document that said to anyone that wanted to apply for this position, here are the qualifications, here's what we're looking for in someone.
No, it was not a posted position as you might have at a lower level position where you actually have bidding or posting in that regard. It was known to members of the department and people in the medical community that Dr. Lim would be retiring, and Dr. Bernalis, among others, expressed their interest. Now, we can test that there were
Let me just ask you one further question. That's the practice generally for positions at that level. That's what you're saying.
That's correct.
That there's no paper or anything, as counsel would suggest, that it's circulated in advance when a position becomes available.
Now, I'm not willing to go so far as to tell the court that I don't know whether there's any publication in professional journals when, in fact, they are searching for applicants. In some instances, particularly where department chairmen are involved, search committees are formulated to look even on a nationwide level for applicants. In this particular, but they aren't posted formally as a lower level position would be, wherein minimum qualifications, physical requirements of the job are set forth in a formal sense. Because of the level of this kind of position, there is no evidence in this case that any such posting was made. Now, we dispute that there was not conversation between Dr. Bernalis and Dr. Zeiring relevant to the decision-making process here. Everyone agrees that both individuals sat down together, and granted, because he was an in-house candidate, he was not summoned for a formal interview. But everyone agrees, and there is no dispute, that the men sat down together, that they discussed Dr. Bernalis' qualifications, and that they discussed his visions for the department. It was, for all practical purposes, an interview. Moreover, although Dr. Bernalis claims that he was never given an opportunity to respond to Dr. Zeiring's recommendation, we know, and it is uncontested, that at some point when Dr. Zeiring revealed that he was going to choose Dr. Moy for placement in this position, he spoke about that choice and the reasons for it to Dr. Bernalis, that Dr. Bernalis, indicating to Dr. Bernalis, you're a very good clinician, but I need a researcher, I need someone bringing in money, I need somebody that can do outreach activities, I need someone to plan educational curriculums. However,
bringing in money, are you referring to research grants?
That's correct.
And
certainly other kinds of developmental grants that might be available, grants to begin educational programs or outreach grants, but basically we're talking about grant money to bring funds in. Dr. Bernalis, in conversation where Dr. Zeiring said, although you're a fine clinician, you don't have leadership experience in these other areas, Dr. Bernalis said, well, I've been with you many years and I haven't gotten more money. And at that time, they negotiated that Dr. Zeiring would submit Dr. Bernalis' name for a senior physician post. On the date that Dr. Moy's name was announced as chairman of the division, so was Dr. Bernalis announced as achieving a physician slot. So the chronology of events suggests, and I think establishes, that there was conversation between the two men relevant both to the requirements of the job and the reason why Dr. Zeiring believed that Dr. Moy was better qualified, allowing Dr. Bernalis the opportunity to dialogue.
Can you speak to the question of Dr. Bernalis' performance after he filed the EEOC complaint, because counsel says things went downhill after that, and that he had a very good track record prior to filing that complaint. What's your view on that?
Well, first of all, it's not supported by the evidence in the record. The employment evaluation that occurs in April of 1995, he files his complaint with the IDHR, and it's cross-filed with the EEOC in, I believe it is, February of 1994, after the employment decision is made relevant to promotion. He is evaluated in April of 1995 and receives a numerical score of 80. There is also a narrative portion on that evaluation that once again counsels him relevant to
what
anecdotal teaching.
What does 80 mean?
80 would be an average score.
What high?
In the 90s range.
And what low?
Probably in the 70s.
And what did Dr. Moy receive?
Dr. Moy received a superior rating in the 90s, and I don't recall the exact number. But his performance... Oh, Dr. Moy? I'm sorry, did you say Moy?
Yes.
Moy was not evaluated by us prior to his employment because he came from Rush.
Okay. But
so
was he evaluated at Rush, or don't you know that?
Yes, he was... He was
in this record.
It is in the record that his colleagues from Rush gave him very high recommendations, and that even Dr. Pildes, the interim chairman of the department who preceded Dr. Ziering, knew of his reputation, because Rush and Cook County Hospital have a cooperative agreement. So there is much communication between the two communities of doctors and administrators, and the reputation of Dr. Moy was known to Dr. Ziering and other administrative personnel at Cook County Hospital.
Well, as Judge Williams asked, did he go downhill after, did Bernales go downhill after he had to file the discrimination claim?
In 1981 and 1982, Dr. Lim, and there's no evidence in this case that there is any indicia that Dr. Lim has any discriminatory animus against Dr. Bernales, evaluated him at a 75.2 and an 82. Dr. Moy replaces Dr. Lim. Dr. Moy evaluates him as an 80. So we see two separate divisional chairmen giving him very consistent ratings, 75, 80 range from Dr. Lim, and an 80 from Dr. Moy.
And no evaluation from 82? Is that what you're saying? From 1982?
There may have been interim evaluations. However, the ones that are available in this record to us that we've put forth show that we have consistent ratings from the prior chair, the one preceding Dr. Moy, and Dr. Moy.
But I'm trying to get a handle on how many actual ratings there were. You're saying in the record there are really only two prior to this 95, right?
There may have been more evaluations.
Right, but in terms of the record...
The evidence present before this court involved a comparison of two sets. One from Dr. Moy, after Dr. Moy's appointment to the position of divisional chair, and two from the prior divisional chair.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. From the prior divisional to the prior divisional chair, it was late 70s and early 80s, two evaluations, right?
Yeah, they were in the 80s, right.
Okay.
That's correct. What we see in terms of performance, first of all, counsel takes the position that there was harassment of Dr. Bernales by these counselings. However, what the record will show is that, first of all, when Dr. Bernales added these things to his IDHR complaint, saying that they are they have counseled me regarding my performance and have given me what I consider to be an unfavorable evaluation, at that time, Dr. Bernales never indicated in his IDHR complaint that those actions were retaliatory. He simply joins them with his national origin discrimination claim. So what we see is a couple of counselings based on this anecdotal practice of medicine and a counter-indicated prescription which was given to a physician. Many of these complaints stem from complaints to the department from others, for example, a pharmacy that refused to fill a complaint.
Thank you, counsel.
Again, the problem with this case is that counsel is requiring you to make weighing decisions, make credibility decisions. The record indicates that my client, even under Dr. Ziering prior to filing his complaint, was given commendation for his performance. Even though Dr. Moy was elected over him as the chair, he was appointed to a higher position. But after he filed his EEO complaint, the bottom dropped out. And that's when things started scrambling around and he started being harassed. In addition, even the Illinois Department of Human Rights, when they did their evaluation and investigation, determined that there was substantial evidence of retaliation that had taken place against Dr. Bernalis. And more important to the point of this case, counsel hasn't indicated in any way why it is that it would make sense under any set of circumstances for Cook County Hospital to fire a more senior, more experienced, board-certified pediatrician from a position in pediatrics in favor of a less experienced, less senior, non-pediatrician for that position. There's just no sense to that, especially given the fact that their salary was the same and the so-called motivation was based on budgetary considerations. The other thing is that the evidence in the record makes it clear that Dr. Ziering, in trying to explain what he did concerning Dr. Bernalis to the rest of his staff because of concerns that they had at what he was doing, was disingenuous, to say the least. On one hand, he said he had absolutely nothing to do with Dr. Bernalis' termination, and then on the other hand, he turns around and says, well, actually he did. All those things, under the Troop decision especially, present a mosaic from which a jury could have reasonably made a determination that my client was discriminated against, and he should have had the opportunity to go before a jury. Summary judgment was simply not appropriate here, and we ask for reversal.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
We will proceed to case number 3, please.